Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly gracious Father, it's always that we come before your precious throne of grace. And thank you so much for the privilege to come to you in prayer this day, Father God. Heavenly Father God, we just pray that everything that you want done and said here today will be done and will be said, and that it will touch the ears of all, Father God, that are needed to hear what we will be talking about here today. Father God, we will be moving in the theme, Father God, of you, dear Heavenly Father God, being the greatest gift, dear Heavenly Father God. And truly this season of Christmas, Father God, it is all about you, Father God. No matter what anybody else tries to make it to be, it is about you and the greatest gift that you were willing to give, dear Heavenly Father God. And so we just praise you. We just thank you. We just glorify you, Father God. And we just pray for all who are listening in to this segment, oh God, that they will be touched by something that is said here today, Father God, and that they will go away with a real good understanding like they may have never had before. What a precious gift you are. And so we bless you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly.
Amen.
So anyway, we are going to talk about the gift of Jesus Christ and what it means to you. And whoever wants to go ahead and start, you go ahead. I know there is someone out there that is just like, there's no words to describe the gift that we have. We should be shouting right now.
Well, let me start by just sharing the original Christmas story from the Bible. And it says, there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." And that's taken from Luke 2:8-14. One of the most significant things that has come to my heart recently about the celebration of Jesus Christ's date of birth throughout the ages is that even those that deny him celebrate. Everybody that I know that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ has a Christmas tree up and gives out gifts. And so whether or not they want to acknowledge his birth or admit that they acknowledge his birth, they do when they choose to celebrate on December 25th like the rest of us. Doesn't matter what their background is, what their religion is, what their problems are, what their circumstances are. That's something that has never ceased to amaze me. They can go the whole year, might show up at church on Easter, but on December 25th, everybody's celebrating. It's awfully quiet today. I guess I'll keep talking. One of the things that Christmas means to me.
No, amen. Okay. I'm sorry. Amen. I had it on mute, unfortunately.
All right. In addition to celebrating Christ's birth, I find that it's a time of healing and reconciliation and restoration of some relationships, family relationships in particular. There's always a situation that one person doesn't want to go to the other person's house, but, you know, with a little bit of urging, they just get them there and the mending can begin and the healing can begin. And it's just a wonderful time of coming together, especially in light of the traditions that families have. Our tradition when I was growing up was new pajamas, new slippers, a new robe, and we would exchange gifts with my mother. My grandmother lived next door with my aunts and two uncles, and my aunts were close to my age, a couple years apart, the one that passed away, and my aunt Diane, y'all know her from the kidney.
Amen.
And we would exchange gifts at the front, you know, out the front door and across the banister. We would exchange our gifts to each other at midnight, and we would get to open those gifts at midnight and then just waiting, you know, for Christmas morning. There's a tradition of me helping my mother cook and then going across that front porch and helping my grandmother cook, and the tradition of eating at our house and then going to eat next door at my grandmother's house. They both cook the same food.
Mm-hmm.
The meals were identical, but for some reason, we just went to both houses and ate.
Amen.
I miss the fact that all of the families got together around that time. My stepdad's family, they would come over, and it would be like the one time that everybody was there, everybody was together, and there was no arguing or fighting or any of that. I mean, sometimes on 4th of July, you might get a little rowdy, but not on Christmas.
Amen.
Those times were wonderful. Waking up to fresh snow with the lights still glowing. Those are things that, you know, you can never just dismiss from your mind as a child. And now living in Florida, we've had our own little traditions because you're not going to wake up to snow. We woke up to frost one time in the backyard. I was trying to figure out why my grass had turned gray.
Okay.
But it was actually frost on the grass. So. But those basic traditions have continued with me and my sons, and having new pajamas, and well, we don't do it now because we don't live at home. But I value those things that we grew up with. And my brother's family, they did the same thing. I didn't even know they had the same tradition that, you know, my brother took the same thing into his family. And those things stay around for a long time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Andrea, as I was listening to you describe about Christmas and the way that you were celebrating it, and just thinking about the question that's posed here today about us celebrating the gift of Jesus Christ, and when you were talking about, you know, getting the new pajamas and all, I began to think about how God had such a plan for this world and how time had evolved, and he was about to do something that you're talking about that was going to be new. That was going to be really, really new, something that the angels up in heaven was about to witness, and something that this earth was about to witness. And that was Jesus. That was God coming in the flesh as Jesus Christ, doing something that was truly a new thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about the preciousness of the gift of Jesus Christ. And to be a little bit cliche-ish, I would say that the gift of Jesus Christ is just simply a gift that just keeps on giving. It's a gift that will never grow old. It's a gift that will never be outdated. It's a gift that I personally will never be able to discard total. You know, I won't be able to discard in the sense that, yeah, I can reject him, but that gift is there. You know, whether I reject him or not, that gift is there. It's something that I will never outgrow. It's just something that I could never outlive. I mean, I could die, yes, in the physical, but because he's my Lord and Savior, you know, it's just a gift that keeps on giving. It's just his gift of love, his gift of peace, his gift of comfort, his gift of understanding. I mean, it's just the absolute perfect gift. It just can't be thrown away in mothballs somewhere. It's not going to rust away ever. I mean, it's just an awesome, awesome gift. And this gift that God gave to the world in the personage of his son, Jesus Christ, I mean, just to show you how much, I mean, he just treasured that gift, loved that gift, and wanted us to have that gift. I mean, even when he was on that cross, you know, and he hung out there and he was saying, Father, you know, forgive them for they know not what they are doing, because he knew that this was the best gift that the world could ever make a choice of. And so I just bless God's holy name, and I just praise him, and I just thank him so much that indeed he is this blessed gift that will just forever be out there for we, his children. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I bless his holy name. Amen. Amen.
You reminded me that when I was growing up, there was no mention of Christ's birth in our home. It was just Christmas. And you know, for a long time, we just thought it was a holiday that you got gifts on.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew older and was baptized and began my journey walking with the Lord, I felt kind of bad about all those Christmases when I opened up gifts that I didn't deserve to get, even those encyclopedias that kind of, me and my brother kind of looked at each other like, is she serious? She's not serious. She's got to have something else under that tree.
Amen.
But,
amen.
You know, when you think back about on those days and times in our family, my mother and father, I'm sure they were struggling a little bit, like all families, you know, trying to maintain upper middle class. And, you know, we received gifts. And even then, not knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was still getting gifts. He was still giving even then.
Amen.
And I just have to be thankful for that and kind of swallow up in humility that,
amen,
you know, I didn't celebrate his birth then, but I know him now.
Amen. And like I say, and before I defer to somebody else, it's just that gift that keeps on giving. I mean, he gives us chance after chance after chance to receive the gift. You know what I'm saying? His long suffering is there. I mean, his patience is there. His kindness is there. It's there for the whole world. I mean, it's just a gift for the whole world. I mean, what other gift is there that is offered to the whole world? I mean, different people, you know, people have different tastes about this, that, and the other. You know, I may offer a Cadillac, you know, to the whole world, but there are people in the world that wouldn't even like a Cadillac. But this gift that God offers, even though some will reject it, and even though the majority will reject it, is still a gift that is for each and every person on this earth. It's a gift no matter if you are the poorest person, whether you are the richest person, whether you are the cutest person, the tallest person, the shortest person, the stockiest person, the darkest skinned person, the lightest skinned person, the in-between skinned person. I mean, this is a gift from God that is for everybody whatsoever. And it is a gift that keeps on giving. And it's a gift that God himself, he puts it in us. You know, everything comes from God. I mean, it's God who gives us even the very measure of faith, to have faith, to want to believe in him and to accept this gift. So he is our everything. I mean, it's a gift that's just indescribable. It's all I can say. It's an indescribable gift. It's a lovely gift. And so I'm just going to just defer. I'm sure that by now Deacon Chapman probably has a word or two to say. Come on, brother, with that word.
Sis, I want to add one thing. It's given freely, and we can give it to others freely.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Without charge. Amen.
Without charge. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Deacon.
Y'all putting me on the spot.
Come on, Deacon.
All right. Come on with it.
All right. Well, listen. We talk about a gift. Now, first, I'm going to just give you, like they say in the seminary, a little worldly connection. Now, as a child growing up, I got many gifts. But you know what? I can't remember all those gifts because all those gifts have gone, got broken, started, right?
Amen.
Don't do
traditional Christmas trees. And I just don't do that. I used to decorate the house with the kids and the inside and the outside, just have it lit up. We've even won prizes for the best decorated house. And but I found out that one day I read something in John 3:16, which I could talk about God, talk about Jesus, but I didn't realize I had a relationship with him.
Amen.
When I start reading John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And two words popped on. He gave his.
Amen.
Twice. Mentions it twice. And then it refers back to Luke, as the Sister Andrea, you were reading in Luke. But Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy things which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Okay, when we look at that, the Holy Spirit came upon her. And this is a direct declaration that Jesus was of a divine conception.
Amen.
And also it had an association with the Spirit and the power of God. And then we look at the Holy One. Now, who is the Holy One? It is God, God Almighty, Elohim.
Amen.
Yahweh.
Amen.
The God of creation. And also, it's a description that gave Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, as the sinless one, because he was created by the Spirit of God. And by that gift that he gave us, it should have us to have the power to conquer the temptation of your sinful nature. It should give you the power to use your spiritual gifts to be effective in the service for the Lord. It should give you the power to be bold, effective, witness for the Lord. It should always empower you to be filled with joy and thanksgiving at all times. And also it should empower you to submit to others. In other words, meet people where they are to get them where they need to be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Graham was on Art Linkletter one year, and every question Art Linkletter would ask Billy Graham, he'd say, well, the Lord said, or the Scripture says, or the Bible says, and each question you ask, you say, okay, I guess I better get to that Bible. And it also gives you the power to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And then it has to give you the power to fulfill your duties, especially within your family, because the old folks used to say, practice at home, spread abroad. And it gives you the power to stand against Satan and his evil forces. You know, in Ephesians, they talk about the breastplate of righteousness, right?
Amen.
And when you empower yourself with that word, because in Psalms 119:11, David stated, thy word I hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, we can look at the word, a heart. We can look at the word, but I always look at the word might. that I might not sin against thee. Because we do live in an embodiment of a sinful flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Blood that we still have in us, it can cause us to commit sin. But through the grace of God, we become, try to practice being sinless. And we refer it back to what the gift that God gave us. In Isaiah 3, it says, by his stripes we are healed. So also
Amen.
Physical healing. But first, Israel had to be healed spiritually. Mm-hmm. They had an outer washing, you know, and you study the book of Acts. What shall we do? They repent and be baptized. So we got to acknowledge that we are sinners saved by grace. And we don't commit sin, but we commit sin because we are sinners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
By the grace of God. Okay, I'll give you a good example. They sacrificed many animals in the Old Testament, right?
They did.
Jesus was our sacrificial lamb, right?
Amen. Yes,
Amen.
Did any of those Old Testament sacrificial lambs that were sacrificed on the altar in the temple, did they ever get up out the grave?
Mm-mm.
But Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And also, not only did he get up as the first fruit, but he gave you an example going all the way back to John 2 when he went to the wedding at Cana.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the water to wine. And what was one of the most important things in the old Israel, the Old Testament, for agriculture survival was water, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the water never changed back to wine. And the wine, right?
The wine never changed back to water.
So once you, Christ has changed you, why do most of us go back?
Amen. Good point, Deacon. Good point.
Because of the fact, okay, when he changed Jacob's name to Israel, he wasn't supposed to go back. But Israel, Jacob sometimes would falter, and he would get angry with him. He'd call him Jacob.
Yep, sure would.
Levi named to Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
He was decreasing him, because you remember John the Baptist said, he comes that I may decrease, that he may increase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Saul, his name was Saulus, and his name was changed to Paul, because that was his Roman name in the Greek. But Saul the Great, but Paul the Little.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, when we confess with our mouth the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and believe, all right, do we know the difference between faith and believing? And that's a question that I'm going to have you to ponder, and maybe you can come up with the answer, but there is a difference, because faith is believing in action.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes say, well, what is the difference? The difference is how you highlight key difference between belief and faith. And like, okay, in many ways, faith is an internal act of mental or intellectual knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But faith is putting your belief in action, because then James said that we have to put our faith in action, because some of us are still believing we have to work for salvation. But no, you work your salvation out, because salvation is a free gift of God.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Coming back to the birth of Jesus, and we have to look at God changed his mind about man and the way man was done. Because you know he shut down on man 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we do shut down on God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he does not punish you. He will chastise the ones that he has called, because many don't answer the call.
Amen.
And when that happened, sometimes we say, well, something tragically happened to me, or this so-and-so insulted me and things. But sometimes that insult or that abuse or the disgrace is get you to recognize who God is and what God intends. Because once God calls you, you call.
That's true.
Now, you make that a lot, like I said earlier, many might not answer the call. But Jesus had a purpose. When God called upon him, I'll put it this way. He looked down through the channels of time, the corridors of time,
mm-hmm.
and trapped in our own sin. And he decided to separate his spirit into a flesh of embodiment that he created in Adam, and come down and walk and talk. Because actually, if the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians would have recognized that it was God himself wrapped up into that body of flesh, maybe they would have had a different of accepting him. But because he looked like them, they could not see him as a Messiah. You remember when he rode into Jerusalem on the white coat? He didn't ride
a white coat.
He didn't have a crown on his head, a golden sword, but he came in as a suffering Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us do not want to suffer for Christ.
Mm.
Because actually through his suffering, he showed you what he suffered through. Even he told Ananias in the 9th chapter of Acts that Saul was a chosen vessel for him, and he would suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we start suffering, we do what I call foot voting. And what I mean by foot voting, we walk out the church and never go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to come to the realization.
Tell it, Deacon.
Huh?
I said, tell it, Deacon.
You know, but yeah, because I looked at on some programs on television, huge Christmas trees. And have you noticed now, Christmas trees have gotten to be synthetic?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they've been that way for a while, but okay.
Because the ones who profess to be Christians are getting to be synthetic.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We have starch. Yeah. We have starch people in the church. They're sitting down, got their legs crossed, and their arms folded. I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-mm. Don't do it, Deacon.
You are, once you confess Christ and the Spirit of God seals you, you are a servant. I don't care if you're a bishop or you want to be an apostle, you want to be an elder, evangelist, whatever. You are a servant.
Amen.
You're a minister. Amen. Your ministry is serving. You're supposed to not only serve God, but you serve his people. Because
mm-hmm.
his people are hurting. 2 Corinthians 7:14 said what? If my people, which are called by my name, do each and every one that's listening that in this audience today, do you have a prayer life? Do you have a constant prayer life? Do you thank God every day for your existence?
Yes, I do.
Amen.
Yes,
I do too.
Because, you know, like I know some people may look at me kind of funny, but sometimes when a deal is made with me in the store and so, when I get out in the parking lot, I raise my hand up and say, thank you, God. Thank you.
Mm.
I had an experience of a amount that told me that I was going to almost $100 some repair on my car. When I went into a repairman and he called a business, the bill was $39. Do you know I started shouting inside?
Mm-mm.
$39. But what I'm saying is that we have to give thanks to God for him giving us his only begotten. That he showed man that and women that a person could be born into this world of a woman, of the flesh, the sinful flesh, which he purged and purified her to deliver, use her as a vessel to deliver his son, that you can live a sinful life. Now, we've broken all the Ten Commandments, but as we have prayer, repentance, and praise, we can overcome the things of the world, because even the demons recognize who God is.
Amen.
But even
Amen.
Though they know who God is, their belief does not cause them to obey God in whom they believe. So we have to come into obedience. We have to do faith and works. We have to, as Paul had described, that the object of problem when we view the book of Romans was to target the faith in the law compared to the faith in the gospel of Christ, which is grace, which was one of the mysteries that revealed by Paul. So I just recommend that we celebrate Jesus' birth every day, not just
Saturday.
Amen. When you study the history of how Christ Mass, which we call Christmas and the Holy Day, which why it was changed to I and they call it a holiday, it was more of a retail significant to get money, to get rid of all this stock and overstock before January 15th, so that merchants wouldn't have to pay a lot of taxes on it.
And let me interject one thing, Deacon. They were talking about Christmas trees, et cetera, and where they came from on some history channel or something. I was probably had it on while I was working on a blanket. And they mentioned the fact that Christmas trees have only been around the last 100 years, and even less than that in the Bible Belt, especially amongst the low-income African-Americans and, I guess they call hillbillies, and people, you know, they couldn't afford to do that. Mm-hmm. And so this is not something that was part of any tradition regarding Christ or Christmas, but it became a retail phenomenon and another way for people to make money at the expense of celebrating Christ. And I didn't, I mean, I've studied what Christmas trees mean, the symbolism and all the negative things about, you know, the tree, the upside down tree and all those other things, which for a long time I didn't want a tree in my house anymore. But because I had the kids, I just put a little tree up. Well, a tree is a tree. I don't care how you look at it. It could be 2 feet tall, 25,000 feet tall. It's still a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw how they matriculated this concept to become a billion-dollar industry, it just, I just want to know, do anybody else see what I see? What else are they manipulating?
Okay, I'll give you an example.
In our lives.
Here in Vallejo, Costco had a truck with 500 Christmas trees in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, in, as they call Christmas trees, you know, pine trees.
Right.
And within, I'd say, 4 days, they were all sold out.
The church, the Lutheran church also sells Christmas trees.
Hmm?
The Lutheran church up the street from us every year.
Oh, yeah.
They sell pumpkins and they sell Christmas trees.
We, you know, a lot of congregations put on Christmas plays, celebrating, portraying the birth. And God did not give us, Jesus himself did not give us any of these traditions to constantly practice. The only tradition that he gave us was the communion, which in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter.
Amen.
And also in 2 Corinthians 9 chapter about a cheerful gift. Now, they don't really break it down how you do your giving, but when you read the 8th chapter, you'll see that it was reaching out to the people that was in need.
Yes.
And then our purpose, that is our purpose being in God's family, is to help those that are in need. Because you do, and with Matthew 7 and 12, I believe it is, do unto others as you have them do unto you, which we all call the golden rule. So Jesus fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. Jesus healed the blind, the lame, the sick, you know. Well, what do? We persecute. We backstab. We browbeat. We put people down. You know, don't put them down. Raise them up.
Amen.
Pray for them. And if you can't not talk to someone, ask the Holy Spirit to touch their heart.
Mm.
And
good
by
words.
That they may be reborn again of a corruptible spirit that they may have. Because if I would just advise that you read all the information you can find on corruption and being corrupt and falsehood, false teaching. And Sister Andrea, did you read the 9th chapter of Genesis?
I wrote it down. I did not read it. And I apologize, Deacon, but I'm going to open up my Bible to it right now. And thank you for reminding me.
What it is that we are not supposed to create any harm to the image of God, because man was created in the image of God. So we got to stop harming people. We got to start loving people. But first of all, you got to find it from within, draw it out of you, because the heart of the problem could be a problem of the heart. We have to change our heart, because in Genesis 6 and 5 it says the thoughts of man begins in the heart. So that's your conscience, your heart. So I would advise not only just today, but celebrate Christ's birth every day. Celebrate his death, burial, resurrection, ascension every day. Thank him each and every day for empowering you, because he is the one that gives you the life, breathing breath that you wake up. He is the alarm system that wakes you up on a daily basis. Many folks go to sleep and don't get up the next day.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Don't let money empower you. Don't let material things empower you. Because I asked a question, I think I said it last week, to a church sister that since we love material things, do material things love us back? No, they don't love us back. And I say, if your TV was being stolen by a thief, would your TV fight to stay there?
Mm-mm.
No.
Amen. Amen.
Good word, Deacon. You got to,
but get into the,
you know, it's a constant that we have to, you know, we can have the hooping, we can have the scripturalization, we can have the biblicalization, but sometimes we have to have plain talk based on scriptural knowledge.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Like reading the book of Hebrew, reading the book of Ecclesiastes, reading the book of James, you know, because Proverbs and the book of James almost coincide as far as having the Proverbs of life and teaching. It's like, okay, Proverbs 31, when King Lemuel's son was teaching her son and giving her son advice about how to find a virtuous woman. But did he follow the advice? The scripture don't tell us.
Amen.
There are a lot of things
we
don't know if he found a virtuous woman.
He just said what she would look like.
But he gave that, just like in 1 Timothy 3:1, 1 Timothy 3:3, it gives us, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, it say desire. It say call, sent, went. It say call, if he desires it. So if he desires it, there's some qualification. So the thing about it, do not get these titles and hide behind them and hide behind Christ. You know, be an example, because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Another translation say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So in other words, if you profess to be a Christian, you're on duty 24/7.
Amen.
We have gotten to the end, and we're going, like, getting cut off a little bit. But I just want to share with you my thought about the gift of Jesus Christ. There are many gifts. Many gifts. Even to be enlightened into who he is. But for me, it is God's peace. And John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And so the only peace to me that we have is God's peace, and you cannot get it through no one else. And Jesus is about the peace. And even when you're going through troubles in your life, if you see what Jesus has gone through, he was robbed, he was beat, he was driven from city to city, but yet he kept that peace.
Amen.
And so that peace that only God has given us is for all of us. And it is his gift. And we're just out of time right now. But I'm marinating in everything that everyone said today. But we have to close in prayer right now. Sister Beverly, would you like to close in prayer?
Amen. Sure will. Dear Heavenly Gracious Fathers, once and again, that we just come to say thank you. Thank you for this outlet. Thank you, Father God, for the people that were part of this call, and thank you for those that will listen to this call, Father God. And I pray that as we continue moving forward, Father God, in this most holy season, I pray that people will begin, Father God, who already haven't, that they would take time and that they would reminisce on what this season is truly all about, because it's more than any gift that they could possibly unwrap under a tree, Father God. It's much more than about lights and the trimming of trees. It's much more about than the baking of goods. But it's all about concentrating, Father God, and focusing, Father God, on the God of this universe, the creator of all life, the sustainer of all life, the giver and taker of all life, the one who is self-existent and one who is self-sufficient, oh, Father God. It's all about you, and we just praise your name, and we just thank you, Father God, for allowing us as human beings to partake and to know of you for ourselves, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Same time next week.
Next week. And have a very blessed week.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Have a good one, Deacon. Amen. Sister Beverly, Sister Faith.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless you guys.
All right.